Morning. A warm welcome to you all on what's been a very pleasant weekend. Hope you've all gotten out to enjoy the sunshine this weekend. But a warm welcome to everyone here today, and a special welcome to those visitors that we have in our midst this morning. Welcome as well to those who are joining us online, either now or later in the week. Whoever you are, wherever you are, we are very glad to have you with us today. We begin with our opening hymn, hymn 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Our call to prayer this morning comes from the words of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, as we gather in worship this morning, we come together from many places. We come from places of joy and places of pain, places of freedom and places of burden, places of peace and places of conflict, places of hope and places of worry. But wherever we are coming from, whatever we will return to, and whatever we carry with us in this moment, we give you thanks for your promise to be with us here and now, and to remain with us in and through all circumstances. Just as you spoke life into the dry bones, and just as you called Lazarus from the tomb, we ask that you would enliven our worship with your presence, and that you would speak life into our lives and into the world with your love. God of mercy, we confess that we do not always reflect your love to the world, and that we often fail to speak life into the lives of the people whom we share this world with. Lord, we hold on to the gifts that you generously give, claiming them for ourselves rather than sharing them with our neighbors. Too often we look at ourselves and others through eyes of judgment rather than through your eyes of love. We remain too often in tombs of our own making rather than stepping out into the light when we hear your call and hear your voice. But God, for all that we do, seen and unseen, and for all that we fail to do, we ask for your mercy. As the psalmist writes, out of the depths we do cry to you, and we ask and we trust in your forgiveness. We ask that you would remind us and assure us of your unrelenting love, and that you would help us to live into the promise of your grace in our lives. Lord, continue to speak new life into us. Call us out of the depths and into the light of your presence. And hear us now as we pray those words that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, again, good morning, and just a few intimations to go through as we continue in worship. First, the stated annual meeting of the congregation will be held immediately following the service today. Unfortunately, that means we will not be having tea and coffee and biscuits after the service. Sadly, you'll have to find those elsewhere. But everyone who is willing to stay around is invited to stay for that annual meeting as we conduct just a bit of business. Also this week, the monthly service at Eccles Court will be held Wednesday at 2 p.m. And then Wednesday at 7 p.m., we'll be holding the final Lenten Bible study that'll be here in the sanctuary. And we'll be joined again by friends of Holyrood Viewfield Church and Park Church, and everyone is welcome to attend what have been very fruitful and good discussions between the attendees of those studies. So you are very invited and welcome to come to those. There will be a time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel following the service next Sunday. And if you or someone you know would like to be prayed for, requests can be made known by making use of the prayer tree or prayer box that are located in the chapel, or by submitting a request through the website or through the church Facebook page. The Tuesday group annual meeting and lunch will be held in the King Robert Hotel on Tuesday, the 31st of March at 12 noon. And finally, just a word on the Holy Week services and Easter services. There will be a service each evening during the week of Holy Week at 7 p.m., and those will be rotating. You can see where those are happening in your order of service. And also on Easter Day, there will be a service at 7:30 in the morning at King's Park, and then a 10:30 a.m. family service here with the sacrament of baptism. I believe that is all our intimations, so I will hand it over to the boss.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I've got certain things with me. I think that's a wee bit loud this morning, is it? A wee bit loud? Is that better? Thank you. Excellent. I've got certain things with me this morning. First of all, a stone. A stone. Secondly, a torch. And thirdly, a bulb, a tiny bulb. Now, you might be wondering, what on earth do these three things have in common? Well, the answer is they help us to understand today's gospel story, or at least I hope they will. The next few minutes will tell. Today's gospel story is about Lazarus. And we know that Lazarus had been ill and then he died. And his sisters and his friends were devastated. They thought that was it. the end of Lazarus. But then Jesus appeared on the scene. But by that point, the body of Lazarus had been placed in a tomb, a cave with a stone rolled over the entrance. Not only, though, did Jesus arrive on the scene, he asked for the stone to be moved, and he called on Lazarus, and Lazarus appeared from the tomb. It was something quite wonderful, something the people truly marveled at. The stone, this tiny little stone, reminds us not only of the stone that covered the entrance to Lazarus's tomb, but it reminds us of the different stones that we can all encounter ourselves in the course of our daily lives. Stones like sickness, stones like sorrow, or those times when we think things will never change or get better. Each one of us, if we really think about it, has at least one stone in our life at this time. And then there's the torch with that flicker of light. What does this remind us of? The people would think of that tomb as a place of great darkness. And it was. But Jesus saw beyond the darkness to the light of new life. And that new life became evident in the most wonderful way when Lazarus emerged from the tomb. And then what of this tiny, tiny bulb? It looks bleak, not exciting, lifeless even. And yet what happens when we plant this in the ground? Through time, a beautiful flower like this can appear. Isn't it amazing how through something that looks dead, life can come? And so today, as we approach Palm Sunday, and then Holy Week, we marvel that Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. So let us, in these important days, think about the stones, those things that are weighing us down, or that we find heavy to carry. And let's imagine what it could be if the light of Christ was to shine upon them and lift that burden. And what about a seed of hope? What seed of hope might we be able to plant to make life that bit better for someone else? Food for thought, my dear friends. We sing the hymn 404, I danced in the morning when the world was begun. Thank you.
Today's first reading comes from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, and can be found on page 723. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you know alone." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." And the second reading comes from John 11, verses 1 to 6, 17 to 27, and 38 to 44, and can be found on page 89, John chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Amen.
We sing together the hymn 55, "Safe in the Shadow of the Lord." And please note, as you see that, there's a sixth verse on the next page, so we don't want to miss that. So we sing hymn 55.
I wonder what the hardest part of being a Christian is for you? Think about that question for just a moment. What is the hardest part for you in being a Christian? If time permitted, it would have been good to get around you all and hear your answer. And I think it's good for us to be able to ask questions. And that's one of the things that has been evident in our own recent Bible studies and in the joint Bible studies. The opportunity to be open and to be honest and to ask questions, even if there is no definitive answer. Sometimes asking can be enough. So what's the hardest part of being a Christian for you? For many people, I suspect, it's when God doesn't act when or in the way that we think he should. It's when God appears silent. It's when the timing feels completely wrong, at least from our perspective. We see that tension clearly in today's gospel reading. Jesus arrives in Bethany after Lazarus has died. And Martha meets him and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Mary will say exactly the same thing. Can I put it to you that their grief echoes the cry that we hear in Ezekiel's vision, that valley filled with dry, dusty bones. When God asks, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel can only manage, "O Lord God, you know." Israel's lament rings through that valley. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. It's a pitiful, depressing scene. Can I suggest that both passages today speak into situations where hope seems to have evaporated, and God appears on the scene too late. But I want also to suggest something else. God's delays are never signs of his absence. Often they become the stages on which his glory is revealed. And it's there that hope is born again. John tells us that when Jesus heard Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. He waits on purpose, deliberately. I don't know about you, but there's a sense in which I find this difficult. We are used to urgency. We get word that a loved one is ill. We want to be there as quickly as we possibly can. But Jesus, loving, compassionate, caring, Jesus waits. Why? Is it because he didn't care? Definitely not. John makes it clear that Jesus cared very much. Here's what John said. Though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, he loved them. And yet he stayed where he was 2 days longer. If you're like me, we long for quick answers and immediate responses. But the Bible tells us again and again, God's ways are not our ways, and his timing is often very different from our timing. Someone once compared trusting God's timing to following a sat-nav. You boot in the destination expecting a nice, straightforward route. But instead you hear, turn right onto the single track road. Continue for 14 miles, take the second exit at the roundabout, continue for 23 miles, and the estimated arrival time is a lot later than you had anticipated. And eventually you mutter to yourself, this thing has lost the plot. But the moment you ignore it, you end up staring at a massive road closed sign. God's timing can feel a bit like that. Confusing. Slower than we like or want. But ultimately, it's right. In Ezekiel's vision, God brings the prophet to a place where nothing seems possible. The bones aren't just dead, they're very, very dry. Beyond hope. I remember a few weeks ago, I was standing in the manse looking out at the garden, and oh, it was depressing. No colour. No sign of growth apart from the moss. Little life. And then, what do we find? A few days of glorious sunshine, and the difference is truly amazing. Someone once said, hopeless places are often where resurrection begins. When Jesus finally arrives, Martha comes out to meet him. Lord, if you had been here, we all know that one friend who arrives just after the heavy work has been done. You've carried the sofa up 3 flights of stairs. Then the door opens. In they come and they say, right, what can I do to help? I imagine Martha and Mary felt a bit like that. Lord, if you had been here, where were you? It's grief mixed with frustration. You can almost hear them thinking, Jesus, we sent word to you. What delayed you? Divine traffic? And yet Martha adds, even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And when Jesus says, your brother will rise again, she doesn't question that. She replies with textbook theology, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And there was nothing wrong with that. In other words, however, Martha was saying, yes, someday, but not today. Many of us can be like that, can't we? We know that God has acted in the past, and we believe he will act again in the future. But in the present, here and now, that feels harder, doesn't it? For Martha and Mary, the moment to do anything for Lazarus, their brother, has passed. And Israel felt the same. Our hope is lost, gone. I find it significant that before Jesus turns towards Jerusalem and his own suffering and death, he endures the weight of human grief. And therein, he can identify with us. We have all lost people we have known and loved. And the grief, even after a number of years, can be very real. Jesus knows how we feel. What are we told? Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the scripture, but oh, what power and meaning there is in these words. And why did Jesus weep? Not because he's powerless. Not because Lazarus is gone, for he knows exactly what he's about to do. He weeps because his friends, those he loves, are weeping. Jake and I had a great walk on Thursday afternoon. Often we meet at the manse, but given the great weather, we decided we're going out into the open, and we did. We walked up through Charters Hall, then Tinker's Loan, and up by Graysdale, and then along Swan's Water. And we were looking at some sheep and their lambs. And when I'm eating lamb tonight, I'm going to try not to think of the lambs that we saw when we were out walking. But we were reflecting on the 23rd Psalm. And we were both making the point that the psalmist declared, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's very significant. We walk through the the valley. We don't remain in the valley. It is not our final destination. Jesus stands with Martha and Mary in the valley of the shadow of death before leading them out of it. God does the same with Ezekiel. He shows him the depth of Israel's despair, not to overwhelm him, but so that God's power might shine precisely where hope has died. My friends, in the midst of this fascinating passage, Jesus says words that lie at the heart of our faith and that give great comfort. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not I will raise, it's I am. Resurrection is not an event, it's a person. Hope isn't for someday, it's standing right in front of the tomb. Through Ezekiel, God says, I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. Now try to picture the scene. Use your imagination. Jesus goes to the tomb. Martha tries to stop him. There's something very human about this part of the story. Lord, said Martha, by now there will be a smell, an odor. Someone in the crowd might have whispered, aye, stand well back, folks. This will be like opening the fridge after a fortnight's holiday. Perhaps the disciples themselves thought, yes, Lord, perhaps a miracle, but a miracle from a distance would be better. But Jesus pays no heed to the concern expressed. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? The stone is rolled away. Jesus prays for the crowd's sake. Then he shouts, Lazarus, come out. And out he comes, still wrapped, head to toe. Can you imagine if mobile phones had existed at that time? This would have been the most watched video in history. And what did Jesus say? Unbind him and let him go. Death gives way to life. The valley of dry bones becomes reality. The timing was right after all. I came across these words written by Corrie ten Boom. God's timing is never wrong. What seems like a delay is often God preparing something greater than we could ever imagine. The struggles, the waiting, and the difficult seasons are not wasted. They are strengthening your faith, building your patience, and teaching you to trust Him more deeply. A moment or two ago we sang, I trust in Him. I trust in Him. My dear people, where are the places today that feel barren, hopeless, beyond repair? We see many such places and valleys in our world, in our communities, sometimes in our own homes and even in our hearts. But the God who breathed life into dry bones, the God who called Lazarus from the tomb, is still breathing life today. Maybe today you need to hear this. Your situation, whatever it is not the final chapter. With Christ, nothing is too late. Dry bones can live. Tombs can open. Hope. Hope can rise again. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We lay our broken world in sorrow at your feet. Hymn 721.
journey through life together. Thank you for every moment we get to share, and help us to cherish the time that we have with each other. When we share laughter and conversation with loved ones, keep us still. When we can learn something new or grow in a new way, help us to live into that moment with open hearts and open minds. When we encounter a friend or stranger, help us to be present and not preoccupied with those things that are outside of our reach. God of resurrection, we thank you for your continued promise of new life that extends beyond all of our circumstances. We pray especially for those areas of our lives and of our world that are crying out to hear your voice of hope. Lord, we pray for the church. Grant life and peace to all who gather in your name, here and in every place. Breathe into us so that we might share your message of forgiveness, hope, and love with the world. Lord, we pray for creation. As winter gives way to spring, renew landscapes and habitats that are in need of restoration. Prosper the work of farmers who care for the earth, and for all those who work to restore and preserve your good creation. God, we pray for the nations. Unbind leaders who are trapped by fear or greed or folly, and give them the courage to step out from the tomb and to act boldly for justice and for peace. Free all those who live in places of war. Bring an end to all forms of violence, and guide refugees and asylum seekers to safe harbor. We pray for all people in need. Take away the stones of poverty and addiction and mental illness, and all those stones that weigh down so many who are in our world. Lord, console any who live in despair and bring healing and peace to all who are sick. God, as you weep for Lazarus, we share that grief, and we thank you for all those who have lived and died in faith. Lord, give us faith to trust in your power to redeem and save, freeing us from death to live in peace with you forever. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn 286, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord.
Thank you.
now may the God of hope speak new life into your lives this day and evermore. And go in the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.